Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kaye in the studio. Thanks for being our guest wherever you call home on planet Earth. Questions or comments during the show, send them to dj@artistsfirst.com. It's my great privilege to introduce our guest this hour, Tiffany... Tiffany. R-A-C-H-A-N-N, Rashawn, our guest, author of It's Watertime, Ma, available at www.imagired.com. For your convenience, we have the link placed at artistsfirst.com. How you doing, Tiffany?
I'm real good. How are you?
Oh, you've got that French twist to your name, I suppose.
I do.
Welcome to Artists First. Thank you for supporting the arts on Artists First Radio. It's our privilege to introduce you. What fun you're having. Children's books are rare and special because they live for decades, Tiffany. I can imagine that you have a few favorites from your childhood, and you're hoping that this will become that kind of book.
I am. I really am, because I have more than a few favorites. I relish in children's literature. It is one of my absolute favorite pastimes, and because I do, it is my gift to everyone else that they share in that, and I am very hopeful that this becomes someone's favorite real, real soon.
Yes, and you tell them to your children, and then your children become adults, and they tell them to their children.
They do. They do. We were just... World Book is doing, everybody remembers the hard blueback World Book encyclopedias we may have had as a child. They are doing a reading competition, actually, and they're giving away a packet of books. And they were asking, for the childhood literature memories. And I just ran through the thread, and everybody is, talking about everybody from Dr. Seuss to just everybody on that thread had a different author, a different book that they could relate to, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So it's always good to hold on to something that brings good memories, I believe. And that is why most of the children's authors that I know and that I admire, that's why they are so diligent in their works.
Children, either they know that's a good book right away or not. I mean, there is no in-between ground here.
They do. Which, I guess, as an author, what the goal is, of course, it's to be themed in some kind of way, something that will help them remember, something that will draw them in. But the readability also has to be there. They have to be able to relate to the characters. So... a lot of people think, oh, a children's book, that has to be easy. But there's a little more involved in it, because if the child is not interested, it may have been a situation where we may have lost that interest in reading for that day. So we have to keep it as relative as possible. And it's fun. And fun, too. Very fun.
Tiffany, there are all kinds of children's books, short, long, young, older children, bedtime books, daytime books. How do you categorize It's Watertime, Ma? What's the theme? Where am I at?
Well, it's an all-day book, and because of the subject matter here, and it's water, the book highlights, family interaction. It highlights health and well-being. It highlights social responsibility, and it also highlights resource preservation. So, it's a book for all day, because I do believe that our water is a definite conversation for our children. They should be consuming as much as they possibly can, and they should do as much as they can by the water, because. Water, for most of us who know, it's going to be a pretty serious situation. So,
and it's one of the words that children identify with early, such as it's bath time. Just
right.
Say it. Boom. They're off, right?
Right.
If you have a year, 2 year old child, you know what I mean. It's bath.
Yes.
Boom. Here we go.
Right.
So water is something that children relate to young. Of course, we're born from water. So
we are.
And so from breastfeeding to the bottle to fluids, it's something that we adapt to and have to have right from the very beginning. And so a young child, they see this perhaps in other children too. The babies
right.
needing their fluids.
Right, right. That, and then there are situations where, you know, in America we have the water that we need, but there are other countries and other villages where children aren't so fortunate to have clean water resources. So it's an important conversation. You know, we want to keep it fun and we want to keep it intriguing, but it's a very important conversation to have with our children about the importance of water and why we don't waste.
And what a treasure it is, and that all of nature and all of life, it requires it.
It is. It does. Exactly.
And those are key concepts for a young person to learn, a child to learn. Now, what's the age group did you target for It's Water Time, Ma?
For self-read, I would say 5 to 10. 5 years old to 10. We have some accelerated learners, that's 3 and 4, they probably could swing it too, but again, because the readability is there.
Well, I have 6 grandchildren, Tiffany, and the oldest is 11, and the two youngest are 2. So they go down from there. So the 11-year-old, of course, is changing the diapers and helping with the babies, but can read, obviously. So can the 8-year-old, right, and the 6-year-old. And then there's a 3-year-old and 2 2-year-olds. So they read to each other. You know, as a matter of fact, when my grandchildren arrive, that's one of the first things they want are the books.
Right.
And even if they're not reading them, they're carrying them around.
Right.
So these books, children's books, have to be indestructible. They're going to in the mouth, chewing on them, chewing in the corner, carrying them around.
They do.
They don't understand, turn the page gently, you know.
Right.
There's no gentle about anything.
And I'm sure you know, Tony, I'm sure you know that with all of the authors that you talk to, you know, once you physically produce a book for yourself, not that I had ever taken it for granted, and you know, before, but now having put together one, I could never take it for granted. So whenever I see a book being mishandled, I get a little nervous. It's like, no, wait, not the book, not the book. So.
And out come the crayons, and they're writing, you know, or they're finishing the story. So
right.
Yes, you tend to get possessive if you're the author. But,
you do.
but you have to have the reality of the fact that the family and other children, it's that book is going to be handled, manipulated, and is the book put together in that way? Is it okay? Is it rugged enough?
Well, not right now, because this is the interesting part. I just actually received a request from the local library here, which is the Houston Public Library. And right now, the book is only available in paperback. But with the getting to the places in the marketing plan that I am arriving to rather quickly, it'll soon be available in hardback. It will.
Well, it has to be an e-book. I mean, come on. These kids, they've got their Kindles. They've got their, you know, just...
I know. And I'm even with that, with the formatting for ebooks, we're getting there. It makes it a little difficult for us Linux users who they urge you to use Microsoft. So we ran into that snafu over here a little bit ago. So we're working on it.
Well, we made that decision at the Artist First Radio Network back in 1995.
Very good.
We decided that we would go with the Windows based simply because it had the broadest worldwide appeal. And that's what we were after in creating the Artist First World Radio Network. And now, with over 25,000 guests, that have graced our airways and over 4 million listeners a month. We're proud of the decision we made to stick with the Windows. It serves the public well. And obviously, a lot of the mobile devices today, and if you're an Apple's lover, that's okay because the programs are compatible to listen
they
to
are.
The network. And
we've
just evolved so far. When we began this business, who had high speed? Who had no one?
Right.
Everyone
right.
were using their telephone line, that old
exactly.
fashioned. You know, you pick up a telephone. Remember those?
Yeah.
You know, who has one? Do you have a real phone in your house? You're
right.
kidding me.
A landline?
Are you? You know, everything is
exactly.
digital, and you know, all of our televisions now download digitally all the information we need, and it's just an incredible age that we live in. An opportunity for authors to be heard like you, Tiffany, and to get your message out there on the World Wide Web. Have you become a social network mom? Are you on Facebook and Twitter, and are you doing all that too?
I am on Facebook, on Twitter, on Goodreads. I'm highly considering Pinterest. It's a few things that I try my best on a daily basis not to be chained to the chair to support those networks, but they're addictive. LinkedIn, all of them. Unfortunately,
how many children do you have now? 10? Where are we at in the picking order here?
In the what? I didn't hear you say that.
How many children do you have?
No, I only have three.
Does it feel like 10?
It does.
And
all the while I'm talking to you, I'm watching people go from room to room, and I'm like, shh.
Right. And we always said that. Mom has eyes in back of her head.
Yes, indeed.
You know,
yes, indeed.
You can't pull anything
yes,
past her. So you have all of that dynamic happening in your home, and I suppose a supportive or somewhat tolerant husband.
Oh, yes. I was about to say it's a lot of testosterone here. In fact, there are a total of 4 other males, so I'm the only girl.
And your husband supports your authorship. I know he does, right? This is a family project. He looks at it broadly as how this will support and edify and grow and inspire his family.
He does. He's actually been a DJ, producer, organizer, on stage radio for 35 years. So the arts are incredibly important to him. And when I made the decision to do this, it was, let's do whatever we need to do. So he gets it, thank God.
Yeah, I mean, that helps so much.
It does.
You know, when you're raising a family, there's those children, they just take all of your time. And then when you have a little left, that's when you remember me, you know, I'm
right.
your partner.
Right.
Do we get a chance? We're leaving the house for 3 hours. Do you kids
right.
think you cannot destroy and kill the babysitter before we get back, please?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that, making a living, paying the bills, and then an author. So
exactly.
I highly commend you and respect, Tiffany, what you've accomplished in putting all this together. Did you envision that this would be such a powerful project for you and your family?
Actually, you know, when I initially, because it came to me in so many different ways, and I started to put it off because there were other things that I wanted to get done, and it just popping up, it wouldn't go away, and I said, okay, I guess that's my cue that I need to go ahead and launch it, and since I have, it's just been incredibly successful. It's been incredibly successful, and I'm pleased because, you know, one of my goals with Imagine Read is to restore the way family esteems literacy. You know, our children, they still emulate, They get older, and we think they don't listen, but they still emulate, and they still do what we see. And if, as a family, we spent more time on literacy, then we will, in turn, raise and be able to be very, very proud of independent thinkers, those who treasure, you know, knowledge, those who value education. So literacy is very important for the family, you know, not just mom reading at bedtime, but everybody, you know, seeing dad read and reading together and asking questions and creating dialogue. That is incredibly important. So it's been a success so far because the events that I've customized, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. And over the next couple of months, I'll be doing some other things that will put me in front and center, you know, to stay in front of families and do what I do. And I'm good. I am.
Do you see yourself then in front of small groups and libraries, elementary schools, preschools, babysitting organization? Where do you see yourself spending time introducing staff to the book?
It's everywhere that you just named. I've done a few author visits to date because I just launched Imagine Read February 1st, actually. So this is a brand new project, and so far, and it's been at least three schools that I've been to, including one daycare, and that was really, really good, and that was just a couple of weeks ago. I've had some signings in a couple different venues. One of the programs that's coming up is actually at a middle school. I've done an educational expo. I've done another radio show. I've done, you know, so much and talked to so many different people. Again, I'm waiting for a confirmation from the public library system, and that way I will begin to do programming at the libraries. So it's everywhere, and it's for everybody, because family is an important social unit. So it's everywhere. Everywhere I need to be, that's where I go.
Tiffany Rashawn, our guest, author of It's Water Time, Ma, and I've getting emails. I should just sort of they tell us about the length and the key characters. Thank you, audience. I should have asked earlier. Forgive me.
Okay.
The length of the book and the key characters in the book.
The key character is Tim. His name is spelled T-I-E-M. And he is narrating his experiences with water. And that takes place in all of 16 pages. So his mom and his dad are also there with him. And they're sharing these different water times. But he's the main character. He's the focus.
All right. Tim, from where? From getting up in the morning and wanting a glass of water? Walk us through a little bit.
It is. Tony, did you buy a book in advance? Oh, my goodness. That's exactly how it starts. In fact, out of the pages, he loved water. I have been excited for water times.
Wait, Tiffany. You're breaking up. You're breaking. I missed half of your words. You're going to have to. Okay, so the beginning of the book actually opens like I said.
It does.
And so the day begins. So you're thinking in terms of a normal day from morning, noon, afternoon to evening, bedtime, water, and what role it plays, cooking, and so forth.
It is. The next one.
That's the next one.
Okay,
is cooking.
So you're really, really good.
I have six grandchildren.
You did say that. You surely did. I'm cooking. We're looking at health and well-being exercise. We're looking at, rain. We're looking at watering plants and how our animal foods get, kind of animal friends get food. We're going to the beach to look at what's going on at the beach. It's water all day. It's water all day. And we do, in fact, start with how we need to consume it because it puts us in the right mindset so that we can receive our day well. So it's everything you just said.
Now, are these eureka moments for your key character, for Tim, that he's coming to understand the significance
at each point? What he's doing is he's talking about how I've been the influence for him, because we're the actual characters in the book, and he's talking about how I've been the influence and what I tell him about the importance of water. So he's not able to communicate with me because he's so young, but he's telling the audience, he's narrating how he feels about these interactions and how he thinks I feel about them and how important it is to me, so in turn will also be to him.
And hence, it's Water Time, Ma.
Right.
Right? Hey, Ma, what's this? Is that the word that your children use for you? Ma? Hey, Ma?
Well, no. He actually...
I mean, we have me, Ma, we have Mama, we have Popa, we have... I mean, there's... so many different cute words that our young people come up with for Mommy and Daddy and Grandma and Grandpa, you know.
They do. My oldest calls me Mother, though. He calls me Mother. He's a teenager, and he gets away with that. But my middle son calls me Mommy, and the baby, of course, he's Ma. So that's why, you know, he's the character. That's what he's saying right now. So,
well, you know when the intonation changes for Mother, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there's always the lower cut, you know, right to the gut.
Of course.
Okay. Those work real good when they're when they get too out of line. But no, it's magnificent that you have your evidence in front of you, your three children. And so they're going to be your harshest critic.
Oh, of course. Of course.
So along the way, were any of them privy to what was happening in this book? Were you, were they engaged in the conversation, or were you questioning the way they might approach the topic?
Well, you know, my oldest son is a visual artist. It was very important for me to bring the podcast. He's done quite a bit with his art, and where I believe he wants to go, it just was really important for me to have the conversation with him about, you know, what it is and what it means.
So your oldest son is very much an artist and interested in that. And your husband is a creative artist, and you are. So you're all really enjoying the input that you could have with this, that each one could contribute to the project.
Right. Indeed. So yes, everybody had to say so, and it was all very positive vibes. Even my middle son, you know, he's helped me set up at shows, and he's reminding people of the price, and he's been incredibly supportive as well. You know,
Yeah. I mean, you could have a skit. You could make this a prop. Now, certainly, you have developed or tailored a presentation, I suppose, a genesis of the book, where it started for you, the involvement of your children in the project, the key character, Tim, and the various things he's going to learn. Have you created a 15-minute or a half-hour presentation that you would offer to educators and those involved in teaching children?
Actually, you know what? I have something available right now, but the problem is we're having difficulty with it on the video. But it is actually recorded, and what am I thinking? Actually, there is something available right now on YouTube. It was from one of my first events, and it talked about, I go in depth about the book and the inspiration for the book and what the important parts are. So yes, that is actually available, and it's at my website. It's at www.imagery.com for those who are interested. And in the event that someone orders from me and they make it known that they are an educator, a librarian, a director, you know, some sort of administrator, I make sure that they actually get the appropriate supplement to go along with the book to assist in teaching. Not just the way that I developed it, but giving them some points so that they can bring whatever is being taught at the moment, they can bring that forth and relate that to It's Water Time, Ma. So that's also available for anyone who actually purchases online, as long as they tell me that, you know, I'm a teacher, I teach this grade, what have you. Can you include? That is definitely. And when just, you know, family orders the book, everybody gets a water chart or reading chart, you know, along with their purchase. that in the event that they complete that and send that back to me, they take a picture and send that back to me, then I in turn send them a free gift for keeping up their really good water intake and keeping up their reading time. So everybody gets something. Everybody gets something if they go to my site, www.imagineread.com.
What will you be planning in the future? Are you thinking that this will become a whole series of books, or will you be moving up the scale in age, perhaps, and looking at the teenage years or with your next book?
This is so phenomenal, Tony, because, again, you know all the right questions to ask. Yes, this will, in fact, be a series. There will be three more. There will be three more books that I will release in the Water series with Tim. And after this series is completed, because part of Imagineread, a very important part of Imagineread, is social responsibility. So the water being that, tying into that, and also family, I'll complete this series, and then I'll be able to move forward with the other titles that have the culture and social responsibility elements as well. But this will in fact be a series, and the entire set should be available by fall of this year. So that's what we're shooting for. We're shooting for the next release in May, and then, you know, a few months after, and then finally in October. So everything will be available by November. Yes.
Have you already outlined those books? Do you have a sense of where you're headed there? How do you come up with your themes? Are you looking at what you've already written and then say, well, I wish I would have covered this or that? Or are we going to see some movement in Tim's age or interest level?
We're going to see a little bit, you know, because it is Imagineread, and because that is very, very important to me, that we continue to continue to upplay our imaginations. We're always going to visit him and his thoughts, what he thinks of something, and he's relaying it in storytelling, because we have to give our children more of that power to tell a story. So he's trying to relate it, you know, as I'm explaining it. The next one will be, in fact, where he's putting himself at a place where he's going back in time with me, so to speak, to look at how things used to be with the water. And I'm explaining it to him, and he's painted these really vivid pictures in his mind of, I imagine things being this way because that's what mommy is saying. So that's the next one, and then we go through in the one following, we go through different parts of the world and how they esteem water, how they revere water. So that will be the next one, and then the last one will be a water tale between him and a very good friend of his. So the series in itself, you know, it's always allowing him to tell his story and what he feels, how passionate he feels about water and water interaction and so forth. And there will be some growth, of course. There will be some growth because he's getting older in real life. So that, you know, it just makes sense. There will be some growth there as well.
Now, in your family, do you have cats, dogs, fish, other pets, or are the three enough for you?
Are enough. I really do. I had a dog years ago, and I miss her dearly. But no, not right now. The three are,
because that's
enough.
Your fourth book. Sorry. Yes, that's right. Tim and his pets. You know, and that's so common in family.
It is.
To grow up with a dog, as you've mentioned, or to have a kitty and on the bed. And, of course, dogs like water. Cats don't like water. Fish love water. Fish love water. So there's lots of ways that water could be used with pets for your fourth book. So there you have it from Tony Kay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you'd be shocked to know how many authors we've had on, and in the background you hear the birds chirping, or you hear the cat meowing, or is the cat stepped on the computer pad, right? And it's now everything's messed up.
Right.
Ding, ding. Or the dog's barking. And I always invite our authors to introduce their guest, their pets.
Yeah.
and to become a muse, you know, within your own literary world. And many authors are beyond the child rearing age, and really those pets are their children.
They are. Pets are, until I owned that dog, because I, previous to that, I was not a dog person. I actually grew up with some sorts of fear of dogs. So I never imagined myself having a dog. But when I got her, I fell in love with her. Just, oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. And then I started to understand how people are wild about their pets. I totally understood it, because she was sweetheart. She was my baby.
So, I know. And you know,
I get it.
And here's how you get away from not having a pet. Tim goes to the zoo.
Yes, sir.
And now the elephant uses his nose to grab the water and spray himself down, and so on and so forth. And you have the penguins in the water, and it's cold, and why they want it that way. Or
exactly.
Well, that could be a fifth book.
I may have to expand it to five books.
To five books now. What else? You could do so much
with
the topic, with water and its importance and meaning that we associate with it, that we take for granted. You know, it's like we forget riding a bicycle and all of the bruised knees and the skinned up and the blood and the crying and the elbows and the, you know, we forget about all of that and we just jump on that bike and down the road we go. No hands. Look at me. I'm just pedaling right along.
Exactly. Like it's not,
and we forget about all of the bruises and the stumbles that went into creating that ability to ride that bike. And certainly water is a resource that we take for granted. I'm thirsty. I just reach over and grab it, and there we go.
Real good.
Yeah. So it's a great topic. It's one that's timely, important. And don't you think universal, couldn't Tim be Spanish?
He could. And that's, you know, here we are. We're right at the place again, Tony. That is, in fact... translation is hugely on the radar for the series because, again, one of the aspects of Imagine Read is culture. Very important for our children to know, be able to relate to culture. I don't know that children ever to themselves completely in contact with difference per se. So. I'm very passionate about translation, and actually in a couple of different languages we'll be looking into getting, because to understand children's literature is why it's important. But for children who read the Americas every day, who don't speak English, who are transitioning from their native tongue to English, that needs some assistance. So that's another component of my program where, yes, he's going to speak a few different languages. He's going to speak a few different languages to bring it, like you said, to make it as universal as possible and as inclusive as possible.
And, of course, we have the city life. We have the country life. We have a very diverse population. Where do we find Tim? Where is home for him in this first book?
He is he's enjoying the city life. He's enjoying the city life. He is. He's enjoying the local swimming pool, and he's going to the beach. So he's enjoying as much of city life as possible. You'll even... There's a section in the book where we grab our bags and we get in the car, and we appear to be on the highway because that's how far the beach is. So he's a city kid. He is. And I think he's okay with that for now. For now, until we move on through the series, because, again, I am going to explore different time periods.
You know, my children, when it's a good book, I hear this a lot. More.
Yes.
More. I mean, let's start at the beginning. Again. In other words, that's another way of saying again.
Right.
But in my home, it's more.
Right.
Okay.
Real good.
Start at the beginning. And that's the way your book has been framed. It's designed to be over and over again.
Right. It is. It surely is. I want it to be enjoyed and want it to be, you know, that very personal again, that intimate exchange between, you know, family and the children where, you know, we're talking about the importance of health and well-being as well, you know, how important it is for us on a daily basis and how it keeps us connected. It keeps us all connected, actually. You know, we're going back to talking about the universe. It keeps us all connected. So it's one of those books that I am happy to have had the success that I've had in the, what, month and a half that it's been out, because it tells me that families still treasure, you know, that special time, that reading time, and they still look forward to a really good story.
And your family, how do they feel? Perhaps an older sibling telling you, "Hey, you're still young," or I mean, I don't know. What's been your family reaction to all of this?
You know, I am the only child, and both of my parents are. My father, and I am a girl. But my father, he is extremely proud of me, and that it's kind of what I wanted. It's kind of what I wanted from him. But yeah, he's such a wonderful man. My father is such a wonderful person that he's been incredibly supportive from day one. You know, whatever I've chosen to do at whatever place in my life, he's always been supportive. And you know, if I make a mistake, he doesn't say, "Oh, that mistake you made." He says, "Well, you know what, you know, let's keep going." You know, so he's incredibly proud of me right now, and he's, you know, telling as many people as he can, you know, "My daughter has done this, she's done that, she's done this, but now she's an author," you know, so he's happy for me. My mom is happy for me, too. All of my family, because I am not from Texas, even though I'm in Texas, I'm not from Texas. They're rooting for me back home.
And
so.
Where is back home?
Home is Michigan. Home is Detroit, Michigan.
All right, Detroit. There we go. Is that a great town to be from?
It is, because it gives you authenticity like none other.
Yeah, I mean, you're just as large as everyone else. Motown.
Exactly, exactly. We have wonderful things that were birthed in
the
Detroit.
Motor City. I mean, everyone wants to know about it. You're
exactly.
In Texas, you're the only gal around who can say, "Yeah, I've known Detroit all right."
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Exactly.
We've had hundreds and hundreds of authors from Michigan and, of course, Detroit, hundreds and hundreds of authors, and it is a fabulous town. It's very eclectic and diverse. I think it gets a bad rap sometimes in the media, and you just have to go there to really experience
it's you do.
The city.
You do.
It is just like Chicago and New York, and of course we love Cleveland, but Cleveland's a lot, I think, smaller than Detroit.
It is
sizably smaller, but you know, we love our towns, and that character, that persona. You went through the Detroit system, so to speak, of schools and understanding the geography of urban life, of living in a big city, and now that's reflected in your book.
It is, which is, here again, reason why, you know, the story, I sought it to resonate with people, because, you know, it's a wonderful city. It's a wonderful city, and like you said, it has gotten a bad rap, and things have changed for the city politically, and a lot of the schools that we used to have are closed, and there's a lot of displacement. There's a lot of economic turmoil right now back home, and the reality is that, you know, there's still a push. There's still, you know, there's still people on the front lines, you know, working hard to assure that Detroit sustains. And one of those programs I'll be happy to be a part of even this summer, where they're giving away backpacks, and each backpack will have one of my books, you know. So it's very personal for me, because, you know, is where the heart is, and that's where it will always be. And like I said, the reality of home, you know, is what, of course, inspired just a little bit, you know, inspired me to go ahead and move forward with this project in general, for children.
Tiffany Rashawn, our guest on Authors First. Tony Kaye in this studio. She's the author of the children's book, It's Water Time, Ma. imaginereadcom, the website, the link at artistfirst.com for your convenience. Be sure to share the interview. It'll be converted to MP3 and made available free on demand worldwide. Capture the link and share it with everyone you know. It's difficult to find quality children's books, and Tiffany has worked hard with her husband and three children to manifest a topic of water and its significance in life, its social conscious, its awareness, and a book that a children will say, more, read more. And that's what we want to hear from our children. We want to instill that love of literature and the value and appreciation of a good book, and we do it young. Get them while you're young. So exactly. grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, relatives, you're out there. Hey, it's birthday time. I'm sure somebody you know is born in March or April or May or any time of the year. Graduation. Hey, there's a lot of children that are having children. They need as much help as they can get.
So I agree.
If you know someone, maybe they're 14, I hope not, maybe they're 20.
I agree.
And they need help. They need literature they can share with that new child and be introduced to reading to their children.
I agree.
So, Tiffany, congratulations. One thing, our time is slipping away quickly, so let's make sure that we cover it. You mentioned that your son, the oldest, is a graphic artist, that he enjoys that type of thing. Who did the drawings? Tell us about the artwork and what makes the characters in the book so compelling in terms of the artwork.
You know, the artwork for this, the series actually, and hopefully the other series as well, was done by Thaddeus Lavallee. Thaddeus is our director of a local publication here in Houston, Cush Magazine. And he, I had first saw his work because I write a children's review column for that magazine, and that's where we met. I had privileged to see some of his work hanging up in the office, and I'm like, wow, who did this? And they were like, oh, Thaddeus did it. And as soon as I saw his first children's, I was like, this is it, came together so nicely. It was just, hey, I wrote a book, and he's, hey, well, send it to me, and let me see what I can do. And the next thing I know, I have a masterpiece. So he had done that. And, you know, again, me trying to ask my oldest son along and just really, really get him to own his ability and his gifts, his talents. You know, I made sure to talk to him about the different stages and the different places in the story and, you know, how to tell a story visually. And he learned a great deal from that. So hopefully one day, you know, he'll be able to illustrate one of these for me. But right now, Thaddeus Lavallee was the individual that put the book together. He retold books visually for me.
Did he capture Tim for you, or did you provide him with a photograph of your family, your children?
I actually did. And the photograph that I sent him, I was like, you know, this is a decent picture. It was actually a picture of us when we were back home in Detroit. We were visiting. And I sent it to him, and because I actually, at the meeting, I failed to bring it for him. And he said, oh, I need the picture. And I sent it to him. And when I saw the first sketch, I was blown away, like, that's a good job. It was amazing. So one of the things that people say as soon as they open the book is, oh, my gosh, this is a wonderful book. Who did the illustrations? That is what I needed the book to do. I needed to grab, you know, children. I needed to grab everybody who was going to take a look into it. And that's what it does. That these characters actually look very much like us, very much like us.
And did he choose black and white or color? Tell us about the imagery or the method he used for for painting or sketching the characters and the environment?
They're actually, this is full color. It's full color, and they are closely related. So I would say a mix between just a tad bit of abstract for some of the other illustrations, the backdrop and so forth. But for us, not so much as cartoony per se, and not so much as caricature, but I guess right in the middle, right in the middle of a real life still drawing of us that's just, you know, been put into motion, so to speak. But it's full color, and it's attached on the abstract.
So we're going to hear a lot of blue, red, white, yellow.
Full color, I would say there's a lot of blue, of course. There's a lot of blue. When we look at the one page with the globe, it's a lot of green, but a lot of I would say red, blue, green, grays.
And those colors, grab
primary.
The eye. They grab the eye for the young
mm-hmm.
child, and of course they focus on faces. And is it a smiley face, a sad face, body gestures? Are they receiving or are they giving? So there's movement. Are they running, chasing a ball or whatever? So you have action as you turn the page.
Exactly. Every single page is going into a different scenario, and we're having a different dialogue about what. And what we do with it, what we're doing with it right at that moment. So there's engagement on each page. So
how exciting.
Really, really easy to follow along. Really easy. That was something I was shooting for, was telling this with the illustrations that the readability be there. Even if it's a child that's 2 years old, your grandchildren, even if they're sitting down to read it, they can still... and still receive it in a way that it was drawn up for them. They can still receive it without having, to read the word per se. So there's a lot going on, and I'm sure everyone will enjoy it. But the colors definitely are primary. They, a lot of, like I said, the reds, the blues, the greens, and so forth. So it catches the eye. It's all aesthetic.
Tiffany, thank you for taking time away from your busy family to be with us on the Artist First World Radio Network. Tony Kaye in the studio. It's been my privilege to introduce you to our worldwide audience. Much success. We look forward to your return to the network as you release future books. Just keep up the good work of inspiring and motivating our young children. We appreciate it so very much. Anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to or thank you to before I let you go, you've got the final word.
Okay. Well, my family first and foremost, friends who've been supportive, colleagues who have given me advice and sat with me during the process because it was a bit long. So everybody who has sent a positive energy this way to this, to where it is today, I am thanking at this moment. Thank you.